Boss. My name is Laird.
I'm Rafi.
And this is What We Dig, the podcast about music, just living that best life and being in Toronto, being a person from Toronto.
Yeah.
So it's we're starting out with actually something kind of non-Toronto-ish, but it to me, it's something that resonates with, you know, folks that would live here and people trying to live that best life.
Right.
And I'm actually just going to comment a little bit on an album. So an artist that you and I have grown to love, in fact, discovered around the same time.
Okay.
And more or less together.
Okay.
It's an artist named Chance the Rapper.
Yeah.
He's a guy from Chicago. He's almost a household name. I don't know if Soccer Mom, I don't know if it's reached the Soccer Mom level yet. They've heard his voice before because he's been in like Justin Bieber songs.
Right.
But, you know, him himself, the artist, maybe not Soccer Mom status yet, a universal Soccer Mom status, but definitely a big within the hip hop community. Somebody well known by, like, I'll just say Beyonce hugged the guy.
Yeah.
And that was a big moment for him. But he's had three mixtapes, and he finally put out his actual album. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to his actual album yet.
Recently?
Yes.
When?
It dropped like in end of July.
Wow, I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow,
it's called The Big
End
Day.
End of July, so that was like a week ago.
Yes, okay. Yeah. So it's called The Big Day, and it is littered with features of all sorts of shapes and sizes of people, which is, you know, and theoretically very cool and very much on brand with the concept of Chance. He's a very big person with embracing it. However, I'm a huge fan. Just I will open this with saying I'm still a huge fan because all the rest of the Coloring Book was an amazing album. Mm-hmm. Even his side projects with Donnie Trumpet have been great. This great like mixture of kind of jazz, modern hip hop. He'll throw in trap once in a while, and then he'll often have like a message, like of stuff that he talks about. Of, you know, in Acid Rap, his second mixtape, which to me was one of his like claim to fame. That's when people started noticing him. Talked about politics and injustice and why the news doesn't cover particular things and then memories of childhood and stuff like that and just real stuff. And he talks a lot about it within that album. However, as time went on, you know, The Coloring Book, his next mixtape was really good. But now this album, and it's a shame you haven't heard it because it's not good.
No. But it's got a lot of features in it.
It has a ton of features in it.
And all the features didn't make it happen?
No. In fact, it actually, some of the features in some cases outshined him.
Mm-hmm.
But otherwise, they just seemed completely misplaced.
I see.
And here's what I'd say. And the thing is, I just bring up Chance as an example. Even if you haven't heard the album, no big deal. But he just reminded me of something or made me really think about something.
Okay.
What I'll say is, it's just in my opinion, what's missing from the album is hunger.
I see.
So like he, you know, a couple years ago, he was really, really trying to make it bigger, to get his name out there and really focused on his art. And then since then, he's now probably charges a few $100,000 per show he plays.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing well.
Mm-hmm.
He's married. You know, I'd say he's reached the goal.
Yeah.
Like, where else do you go from here other than, you know, Beyonce, right? Like, I don't know, or, you know, somebody, you know, huge, so then Drake, right? And so few people make it there. Mm-hmm. Most people would just be content being where Chance is right now. So the reason why I bring this up is for a bit of a philosophical question.
Right.
Of, you know, does being content work against people's progress?
Right. So I haven't heard the album, so I can't really comment particularly on the album because, you know, you and I might not know what his artistic direction is.
Yes.
And I might listen to that album and go, wow, this is a fantastic album.
Yeah, I
Laird,
did it.
Laird, you're nuts.
I did it. Okay, I'll give you another example.
But I haven't heard the album.
Yes.
So let's take that portion of it aside. But I think the real question is, what happens when artists are content?
Yes.
Right? That's a real question.
It's a danger.
Is it a danger?
It can be a danger. I'd say there's some people who...
Danger to whom? To you? To me?
To the artist.
But they made it, though.
Yeah. Well, when I say a danger is to continue it going. So what can happen is, you know, and I'd say this happens with day-to-day life, even with careers.
Yeah,
which is why I think it's such kind of a universal question.
Exactly.
Is that if you set a goal for yourself... And then you reach that goal, you're kind of in a what's next period.
Right.
And then you're almost demotivated or less motivated.
Right.
To hustle is hard, as you may have before. So a great example for you is like Eminem. Eminem is a perfect example.
Right.
Right? Because he's somebody who was hungry at the beginning and like took people like down, did amazing his career, found the right people, made the right connections.
Right.
Had a pretty long spanning, you know, successful career where he was, where he was making music that still really spoke
and
to people.
And then he got old.
Exactly. But that's not necessarily old. He lost the hunger.
No, he got old.
And then, well, here's what I'd say.
Kids got into a little...
You know, the little movement started taking over. All the littles, Little Pumps, the little Zans,
Little Peeps,
Little Nas X's.
Yeah, yeah. And you want to call them Little Eminem?
You want to stand up against the littles?
Yeah. If you had Machine Gun Kelly come along, I mean, it's just no longer the same game anymore. The game passed him. It's not his fault.
I don't totally agree because his Kamikaze album, which is his most recent one, was a response to... it wasn't called Recovery. I forgot what it's called. It was the album that was before, but that one was like panned as terrible. Tyler, the Creator, came out and said it was bad. A bunch of people said it was bad, and it was a bad album because it was missing the hunger. Mm-hmm. And then everybody who talked about him angered him so much that the hunger came back, and he dropped Kamikaze, which was a fantastic album.
Yeah, it's okay.
So that, to me, well, just again within the context of you know, the hunger was back. That at least it was good.
Yeah.
Like you can admit it was good. It may have not.
So you went from below subpar to subpar.
Yeah, yes, hey, whatever. No, so maybe par. Maybe like squeaking in a par.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But that's something that is something that's, you know, even with like I said, with careers and people's with people's lives, when you reach
So the philosophy for the philosophical question is, you know, what do you do, or should artists be like that? And sometimes, you know, you gotta be. Mm-hmm. If you have a family and you have other priorities, maybe your art takes, or your job, it takes a back seat for a little bit.
Yes, yeah,
but it's how you come back.
Yes, that's true.
And most people do come back.
A lot don't. Once they reach that content level, like, I mean, imagine you've made enough, and that's still a great life, don't get me wrong.
Why not?
But it's
as a fan, it sucks. I guess
exactly. Yeah, yeah.
You want to see more products out of the person, and they're just like, no.
It felt like they were just starting to reach their peak, and you wanted them to kind of ride the peak at least for a little while.
Yeah.
But the other interesting thing is this is an album release. This is not a mixtape. Mm-hmm. So this is his first actual properly released album. It's still under like his own label or his own name, but it's still a big deal that this is like his first album, and it's just like, and that he's actually even been tweeting about it as well, and saying, you know, a lot of the stuff that he's been reading about tweets, everybody's been like just demolishing the album.
Wow.
Right. And he's, I think he did this kind of tongue in cheek, but he was like, you know, a lot of the comments and stuff are making me feel really bad about myself, like I should kill myself for that. I should do stuff. I mean, he's being dramatic. He's not being honest.
Wow.
But he's saying, you know, like I'm happy with what we created, and I love my wife, and that's basically his message, which is totally fair, right? Yeah. Like again, he still put out a project, right? And that's the other thing that makes me think about as well with a lot of artists that I love, is that do you put out a project to stay relevant even if it's garbage, or do you wait until it's perfect?
Well, okay, so did you say this was his first project as his own label?
Yeah, yes. Yeah, like it's his first
Growing Pains. For some. Like it's tough. It's, you know, there's so many behind the scenes operational stuff that we don't know about that goes into making an album. You know, you can't just, you know, once the record company steps away, you got to do this yourself.
Yes,
you're the CEO, or you're the guy who's running the project.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not easy.
No, absolutely.
You can't just run an agile.
No,
with these artists.
Yeah, yeah. Like after being great at freestyling and writing lyrics and putting together music, that doesn't really translate always into agile delivery of projects. Agile projects. Sorry, we're using, for those, this is corporate jargon. It's a method of delivery of projects. It's
anyways. That'd be hilarious. I need you to go do that guitar riff.
And the next sprint, I need you. So sprints are a part of Agile products. And the next sprint, I need you to really focus on the guitar solo. We have like a 3-day deadline for that. Sprint ends in 3 days. So just, I need that solo in now. That'd be great. Can't really picture Chan saying it.
Well, maybe he did.
Really, would I put soul into a guitar solo under those circumstances if I'm delivering it? Yeah, so maybe that was his problem. Maybe it was an agile project delivery. A new mechanism. But yeah, I mean, I've even been thinking about that myself. I have a lot of other personal goals and stuff like that I want to make. But there's been some milestones career-wise that that I've made. And I'd say that there's some fear, and this is one of those things, there's some fear on, like, once that's delivered, what next? Right? Like, how can I do better or continue to progress or continue to do whatever? So, right. I mean, that's one of those things. But I feel like happiness can work in both ways. But for the most part, I've really noticed that the art suffers when it comes to artists.
Yeah.
When people get to that comfortable content moment, there's normally a few years of hiatus, mm-hmm. which sometimes removes you from being relevant. Mm-hmm. And then when you come back, the game has changed.
Yeah.
And you might be still putting out the same type of material.
Yeah.
Right? So that's one of those things that I'm a little bit, because I'm a huge, like, Chance represents so much. He represents kind of the positive side of rap, mm-hmm. And of hip hop. And he's one of those people who you just really wanted to see continue to do well and,
yeah.
you know, continue to be a leader within the hip hop community and to grow his fan base. So to put out a kind of a crappy project causes some of those fans to leave. But anyways, I just want to talk about that a little bit, like the philosophy of being content. Mm. You know, how do you stay hungry?
Yeah.
Right? Like, once you reach a goal,
yeah.
how do you stay hungry? There's a few ways to do it. But I think all of us have to kind of figure out that. But this was a very relevant one given Chance's album. Next thing I want to tell you about is a kind of a crazy story that happened. So there's a guy named Chef Devin. We had reviewed a restaurant called The Lock and Key, which is a place that is really close to Queens Quay. We had like poke and like probably one of the best jerk chicken sandwiches I've had. And there's a chef that's there named Chef Devin. That he's a guy who we met, and he showed us how he cooked his stuff. Weird story. So I was up in the burbs in downtown Barrie, mm-hmm. and I had a night out with my wife without kids, which I don't know if you'll understand this yet, but that doesn't come often.
Yeah.
And you kind of relish those evenings. Mm-hmm. And we had a particular restaurant that we wanted to go that was in mind. And actually, there's a question I have to ask you about this as well. So we go to this restaurant. It's an Italian restaurant. We sit down. We look at the menu and nothing is really speaking to us on the menu. And we had kind of planned to go to this restaurant, but we hadn't looked at the menu before.
Yeah. Rookie mistake.
Rookie mistake.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rook. Just didn't work out for you.
Yeah.
So the funny part is my reaction to it was like I was breaking up with a girlfriend. Oh. And not with my wife. That's a little weird.
No, but with the restaurant.
Exactly. Yeah. So when the waiter came back, I was like, listen, it's not you. I'm sure this food is great.
Yeah.
But
we're just not feeling this right now.
Yeah. We're just going to go.
Yeah.
So my question for you related to this before I get further into the story is, what do you do in those scenarios? Do you just put down your menus and leave?
Yep.
Or do you let the waiter know that you're leaving so that they don't think you've gone to the bathroom or disappeared for a few minutes or mm-hmm. whatever? Like, what's your play when you've realized this is not the restaurant for me?
Okay. So it depends on type of restaurant. If there's a guest or a hostess or host, whatever, in front, then I'd pick up everything, mm-hmm. walk up to the host and say, thank you, we're going to go.
Yes, yeah,
that's
yeah.
it.
Okay.
If this was no host situation with a waiter, then I'd probably tell the waiter. Yeah.
How would you break it to them, though? Because like I said, I felt like I was, or break it to them.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like, yeah, it's not me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's not you, it's me. Mm-hmm. It's just, this is not
working. I think eye contact is important. Eye contact, I straight in the eye, and be like, I'm out of here. No, seriously, I think thanks, but I'm out of here.
Yes,
thanks,
yes.
but it's not working
out. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool. This is not really working out.
It's Band-Aid. It's to me, I live by the Band-Aid philosophy.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
That, you know, whatever you got to do that's tough, that's hard,
just pull it off.
Just do it.
It doesn't have to be elegant.
It's sting hard for a little bit. But then once you're out,
you move on.
You're
up. Better
but
place.
The worst part is when you realize that you actually got to come back to the restaurant because there's nothing else.
Yeah, yeah. Like once you've done the rounds of looking at other places that might be nearby, and like that was really the best option. listen, I've been thinking. This is now the boyfriend coming back.
Yeah.
I've been thinking. Yeah. This was actually really great for me.
Yeah. So at that point, if you see a Subway, just go to the Subway.
Just go to the Subway. If you see a good place to get a good sandwich or a cheap sandwich, that's your move. But that's awesome. So that so we go to this place. We leave the place. And we don't know where to go because that's the place we had planned on going. So we end up going to this patio, a really nice patio, at another bar, and just had a drink while we kind of regrouped and figured out where we're going to go. Again, not often do you get a night off, and mm-hmm. it felt like we kind of dropped the ball. So we get our drinks and we're on our way out, and there's Chef Devin coming in. And he's like, hey, how's it going? Da-da-da-da. Great to see you. And he's with this other guy. He's like, come have a drink with us. And we're like, this is our night out for kids. I don't know if this is the best night to go out for a drink with you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, come out. And he kind of like grabbed our arms and pulled us over. And we sat down and he ended up making us an amazing drink.
Oh, yeah.
With like gin and ginger beer and like mint. It was almost like a mojito with a twist of ginger beer. And we all got them. And I forgot what the drink is called, but it is an actual drink. And it comes in like special glasses. So we felt particularly special. And then we get introduced to the guy that he's with. So Chef Devin, just so you know, he does some work with Lock and Key, yes, but he also is on City TV. He does a lot of PR stuff and is a real promoter of kind of like food in the chef community, you know, within Ontario and within Canada. And he's also my same background, which is funny enough too, my same ethnic background.
Yeah.
So the guy that's with him is this other guy who apparently and he's also on City TV. He does, his name is Chef Randy. Mm-hmm. He does does the cooking stuff in like the morning shows. Mm-hmm. And is often on CTV or City TV. And he's there with him as well. And we start like chatting with him. And it was awesome meeting both of them. Like we were just kind of having a great time, having a couple of drinks. And they ended up getting my wife a little drunk before we ended up going to the next restaurant, which is hilarious. But the guy, Chef Randy, was an amazing guy for a couple reasons. One, I didn't realize this, but he's really figured out like a niche market in Barrie. So there's one, have you been to Collingwood?
Yeah.
There's a place called Pie, which is like a stone.
Yeah.
Oven pizza place. So that is actually really expanded. There's like seven of them around.
Yeah.
And that was his conception. He had come up with the idea and sold it. And there's one and another great restaurant that's in Barrie as well called The Farmhouse. And he had set that up and we'll see. But I think his thoughts may be to sell that in the near future as well. Mm-hmm. But he's apparently done this something like 10 times. And he's had, out of 12 places he set up, 10 of them have had this outcome. Mm. So it was kind of awesome to hear, number one, what a successful entrepreneur looks like, mm-hmm. because he's apparently a big deal within the Barrie region, mm-hmm. but then also just to randomly run into them, and that this model can work. Mm. He's just found a market, and I find, if I were to say like a little more cynically, what his approach has been is he takes a lot of popular food trends,
yep.
That are from bigger cities or from Toronto or from wherever,
yep.
And packages them so they're more palatable for that community.
Right.
Right. So for like the Barrie community. So if he's doing, a pizza place, he's going to have it branded so that it's a little more family friendly. It's a little more, you know, universal, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of wild that it's really interesting to meet somebody who has had multiple successful entrepreneurial experiences in bought and sold. Because you don't really hear about that. We don't really publicize mm-hmm. a lot of folks like that in Canada.
Mm.
And they exist,
yeah.
but it's all very quiet. So it's one of those things where, like, think about any, can you name an entrepreneur from Toronto or from like GTA? Yeah. Couple,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But I mean, there's so many more.
So are we doing a spinoff of what we dig Barrie style? Like is
this the angle? Are we planning on expanding our reviews? No. I thought it was just like a crazy random interaction with somebody who we did visit here.
Yeah.
But then also really, really encouraging and cool to see how.
And it makes sense. I mean, people are moving north, right?
Eventually,
that's where people are going to go. So
It's the Jersey of New Jersey of Ontario.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I mean, so people or of Toronto, and mm-hmm. people want to have that extra space and stuff like that, and parks and trees, mm-hmm. and you know, drive everywhere. That's the driving the SUV. That's the life. If you're looking for convenience and a lot of jobs and mm-hmm. stuff like that, and less space, you know, that's Toronto's a little bit more interesting for that. But anyways, I thought I'd share that story with you a little bit. Because I thought it was kind of an interesting thing. And you never got to meet Chef Devin.
No, I didn't get a chance. That's too bad.
Because he's a real character. But both of these guys are real characters. They are both on Instagram, too. It's Chef Randy Feltis. And then Chef Devin is the other one. So the other thing I want to talk about that I've noticed a lot recently, because I had a vacation recently, spent a lot of time in the burbs.
Yep.
Compared to the city. And here's something that I really noticed after a while. is I've started to notice that we've been more desensitized to violence occurring in the city because we just acknowledge that it is the numbers.
Okay.
Right? So you have a city of this population and there's going to be violence. And what I'm finding is that it's happening like closer to home with a lot more of my relatives and and people that, in areas that you wouldn't necessarily think that it would happen.
Like what, the numbers part of it or the actual...
Well, just that violence is happening particular areas of the city that are, and I mean, it's generally, again, it's just the numbers piece. It's probably always going to have, if this many people, there's going to be, you know, like murders and stuff like that. But in the burbs, none of that happens, right? Okay. Like it's far less common because, again, the numbers on its own make it far less common. But the weird part is how much we've desensitized. Like when I was, living in the city. Mm-hmm. I was completely desensitized to it. It's like the subway.
Yeah.
Like if you haven't taken the subway for a while and you walk in, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Right. And then by the second day, you're like, yeah, this is life.
This is real.
This is how it goes.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if you've had that experience though, of where you
stepped away. No, but I live downtown Toronto, so I won't.
Yeah, but you kind of lived in the burbs. You lived in Scarborough for a long time.
So long ago. I've become desensitized.
So you've entered that category of desensitization.
Like, I can see you coming in after 2 weeks of vacation in the burbs. Yeah. Going, holy shit. People have garbage on the street? What?
This is ridiculous. I'm leaving. Yeah.
There's an open sign at 9 p.m. What?
Yeah, exactly. Places are still open. It doesn't shut down at 7:30?
24 hours? What? Yeah.
This exists. I heard about this. It was a myth. But it's something that I've really kind of noticed that, when I was here, it was just, I just kind of accepted it. I mean, the way that a lot of my relatives and myself have justified in the past is like, and I think this is fair too, you can't live your life in fear.
Right.
Right. So, you know, even if something happens just down the street, like just an example is my mother's neighborhood, there was a random shooting where somebody, for no reason, decided to start shooting people in kind of the Danforth region.
Yeah.
Right. And that made me like really concerned for my entire family's welfare that's there. And that, like, that's really close to home. Right.
Yep.
But it's weird. A week passes, you're like, oh, all right, we're cool.
Yeah.
Right. But it's because you, in order to live a balanced life in this city, you need to have a level of desensitization to a lot of stuff. And I don't know if that's like a good or a bad thing, right? Like I think that's what gave me pause.
Yeah.
It's like, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing that you're kind of letting go of this? But I don't know. You're still in the desensitized zone.
Yeah, I'm completely
desensitized. Like, Rafi's looking at me like, there's violence in the city?
Yeah. Listen, I live near Moss Park. I have to bike through that. If I lived in fear, good God, I would never make it. I would just never make it anywhere.
Yeah, Rafi hasn't been coming into work for the last 3 weeks.
Pass through Moss Park. Jesus. Like, even today, I was walking by, this dude was shooting up. Like, it was nuts.
Oh, man.
It's nuts out there. Oh. But I got to ride a bike. I can't really worry too much about that. If I do start worrying about that, I'm going to get hit by a car.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I got to
give and take.
Yeah. I got to focus on me.
Yeah.
I got to get, going. It's, it is what it is.
So, and there's this other funny thing, too, that I've noticed as well is that I find a lot of Torontonians are really nice when you engage them and are extremely helpful for directions,
right?
But want nothing to do with you if you want anything more than that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Even directions. Like, if I'm on my way somewhere, don't ask me. You've got a cell phone. Figure that shit out. Like, come on, bro. Like, I did the other day. And I'll understand if there's a certain generation who ask me.
Yeah, yeah.
I get that.
Yeah, like an older person asks me. Yeah, help them out.
Yeah, and if you know that they're a tourist, if you can feel that out, I'm a tourist. I don't know what I'm doing here.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. You don't know what's north, south. I get it. You got to look at the CN Tower and then you can figure it out.
They're not tech savvy. That's your method of describing somebody non-tech savvy?
Yeah. Absolutely. If your phone died, all you got to do is look up.
Yeah. Look for the tower. Follow the tower. It's the North Star.
Yeah. All right. So, but if you're, and I can't stress this enough, if you're a normal Torontonian, come on, man. Get on TELUS plan. Get on the Kudo plan. Get on
ignorance is no excuse.
Or whatever freedom plan.
Yes, yes.
Come
yes.
on, bro. And if not, if you can't afford it, I get it. Look at the CN Tower. Yeah. Figure that Like, really, dude.
And leave me the F alone.
Look at First Canadian Place, the BMO. Yes. If you can't see the CN Tower, because sometimes when you're downtown, all the buildings,
yeah.
Look at the BMO.
Yeah, yeah. Just switch your tower. Have your landmarks. What's hilarious? This is pretty on par for the Torontonian experience with Rafi. So anyways, I thought that was kind of like an interesting thing. I mean, it's one of those obvious things that you recognize that you're desensitized to it, but when you step away for a little while, and you kind of look from the outside in, that was really kind of the realization of just how much,
yeah.
You know, living in the city means you're desensitizing yourself to all sorts of things,
yeah,
that you wouldn't have to before. Lastly, the thing I'm going to talk about, or thing we'll talk about, is the musical artist this week. So I will talk a little bit, if we have time, I'll talk a little bit about a food place that I got to check out as well, but the artist I want to talk about is Kelly Finnegan. So did you listen to Kelly Finnegan?
No. But did you listen to Nas's new
album? I did.
Did you listen to
Nas? I didn't do the hard listen, though. I did the informal click through. I need to give it a real listen.
Okay.
So I've tasted it, and I'm generally a Nas fan. I don't think it's been rare he's put out a project that's been bad.
Well, okay.
So, and it's unfortunate that little Nas X is at the top of every charts for like 50,000 weeks, because he's kind of
you can't top that. It's the worst thing that can happen to you as an artist. It's true. How do you top that? So you come up with next is not going to be number one.
Yeah.
It's not going to probably make number top 20.
Yep.
And so
designer's living proof.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's that happens. And the thing is, he tried.
Yeah.
Right. And it's not like he doesn't necessarily have the talent for it.
Actually, there's one person who's got past that. Shaggy.
There's a few people, but Shaggy's a great example.
Shaggy's
hold on. O Carolina didn't when I think of his entire career, O Carolina was kind of his big first hit. Mm-hmm. That wasn't chart topping, but it did well. To me, the It Wasn't Me era was probably his strongest period.
Yeah.
I don't think he's come out with anything after that.
But that's my point, though. Like from the first one, and then the It Wasn't Me, he was able to do it.
So the key concept is you got to enter in like top five songs.
Yeah.
And then you're in a better position to do better, to outdo yourself. Okay, yeah. But he is the Old Town Road is something that is played everywhere, all the time.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't dislike the song.
Yeah.
But
it was very formulaic. I mean, it was a good job putting it all together.
Yeah, you know,
that voice plus talking about horses.
Yeah.
You know, it just resonates with everybody.
People in the city, people outside the city.
All races and backgrounds and, yeah.
Yeah, tons of people jumped on it too for features,
and then you can sing along to it. It's not difficult.
It's pretty catchy. Yeah,
so you can have teenies doing that. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, I created a song recently. I won't sing it right now, but I kind of came up with a song that has some of those attributes of just being catchy and memorable.
Yeah,
and my kids will not stop singing the song.
Yeah,
but it's actually kind of an adorable. to hear them say it. Catchiness is a key thing. Anyways, back to Kelly Finnegan. Kelly Finnegan, I would describe as a male version. I mean, this is kind of unfair, but I don't care. I'm doing it. A male version of like an Amy Winehouse.
Hmm.
Right? So plays the same kind of style of music where it sounds throwback. Oh, who's that other guy?
Leon Bridges.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. But a little different approach, but very similar sound to kind of Leon Bridges. And this guy, so the reason why I'm bringing him up is because he is completely unknown. He's got like 2,000 followers on Instagram at this point.
Okay.
Yet he's made a pretty phenomenal album.
Okay.
Right. Now, I think this is another one of those things where life and timing may not be working in his favor, because I'd say, you know, we've been oversaturated with that kind of music.
Okay.
There's a lot of great artists that have, you know, been part of the industry over the last 10 or 15 years, but when somebody does it really well, you know, it's one of those things where I want to acknowledge that he's one of those guys who's, mm-hmm. and I'm hoping that he comes to Toronto. But short story with him, he's a random guy. He is not stereotypically good looking either, like no offense to him,
mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have a traditional pop star look is what I'm basically trying to say.
Right.
And he's from Los Angeles, so he's from Encino.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a guy, a beard, his piano, and like a pretty crazy voice.
Yep.
And is just great. Like, so if you're in that summer, especially like that summer vibe of the tail end of the summer, it's a good midsummer kind of feel And his, again, his album is great. And he can, because he's not big,
yeah,
he continues putting out stuff.
Yeah.
So I find that the non-big artists drop an album mm-hmm. and then just continue tossing out singles.
Yeah.
Right. And then
that's all you gotta do.
Exactly. Yeah. And then work towards that next album.
Yeah.
So it keeps the people that are interested still interested, but it doesn't have the pressure of like following up with another album right away.
Yeah, and I mean if you're an up and coming artist, you wanna probably get another gig. Mm-hmm. The only way you can get a gig is by showing that you have talent and you're putting out product
or yeah.
music. Exactly. That's how you market yourself. Yeah,
it's the
just hustle.
Right. So continue making music, continue getting out there, continue touring. And it's also interesting because there's not a whole lot of media or like YouTube videos on them and stuff like that too. So
yeah.
I, as you know, I'm a pretty big music snob, and this is my favorite time to catch an artist.
Yeah.
Because then I get to be the jerk that says, well, I knew him when he had 2,000 followers on. And the other cool thing is he actually talked to me. So I didn't like, this is the other kind of cool part. Whenever artists at this level, you can actually reach out to them on social media and yeah. they will respond.
Yeah, they'll respond, yeah.
Right? And one thing I did with them, which is the thing I love to do with artists, is I actually did a music swap.
Yeah.
So I sent him three artists to listen to and three albums to listen to, and then he sent me back three albums and artists to listen to.
Yeah, what did he send you?
Let's see if I can, I'll get the names here. But one was a little bit out there and experimental. And then the other ones really were a little bit more in his wheelhouse of the music that he listens to. But yeah, he had given me Richard Swift, a group called The Bees, and a group called Mystery Lights. And yeah, I sent him MKG, who's somebody I've recommended on the show, another artist named Orion Sun, a great kind of jazz folk kind of pop group. With a side of country named Lake Street Drive,
mm-hmm.
And then a Canadian band called Bad Bad Not Good,
yeah,
which you've probably heard of. But anyways, I sent him a bunch, and then he sent me back. So I love doing those. Another artist I connected with is Cut Chemist as well recently, and he's one of my all time favorites. But it's while we are in this time,
yeah.
where if I want to just say what's up
to an artist or somebody,
exactly,
yeah.
and get a genuine response,
yeah, yeah. and all you got to do is give up your privacy.
So you know, this is one little thing we need you to do in order to give you this flexibility
and convenience,
instant gratification. Just put yourself at risk, get complete identity fraud.
Yeah.
Once you do that, we're good.
Yeah.
I need you to or
we use your personal information to our benefit.
Yeah, that's right. To make sure we sell you exactly what you want, so that you are brainwashed into buying stuff immediately.
Yeah. That didn't. So cool, yeah.
Just sign here. Just sign here, thanks.
Great world we live in.
But that's funny. That's I didn't say that's true. So anyways, it was really cool that he had the time to respond and I hope he will be coming to Toronto soon. But here's a little taste of Kelly Finnegan.
Thank you.
So that was Kelly Finnegan. I'll give you a little bit of an after-dinner mint here. Not necessarily for Kelly Finnegan, but just for our show. First, I want to thank everybody for sticking around with us this long.
Yeah. Thank you.
And hearing our experiences of desensitization and chef stories.
Yeah. Summer's been good.
Oh, it's been amazing summer.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been really grateful of just this era. As well. Again, life is ups and downs, but overall, it's been a pretty great era.
Yeah.
I got to try a Peruvian restaurant as well.
Oh, nice. From where? In Barrie? Or?
No.
By the way, where did you end up going after meeting Chef? Because you did end up going somewhere else.
Yeah. It's a place called El Buco.
Yeah. Okay.
And it was just another Italian place with a great view of the lake.
Okay.
So, yeah, I brought a slightly tipsy wife to an Italian restaurant.
Yeah, it didn't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It could have tasted like garbage. I would have still won.
Yeah.
Right? Like we would have been fine. But it was very good, at least we went to, and it was had a great view of the lake. But yeah, I tried a Peruvian restaurant called Mira.
Oh yeah,
which is I believe just off of Spadina, and it's kind of like a speakeasy type place.
Okay,
and it's a tapas type of idea.
Yeah,
and here's what I'll say overall with Mira, I enjoyed Mira. Mm-hmm. They had some great dishes, vegetarian and beef dishes that were there. They are pretty pricey, though. Like, I find tapas in the city is you're shelling out a lot. We left full.
Yeah.
We left satisfied.
Yeah.
Not every dish was perfect, but like I'd say 80% of them, 20% of them made you stop and like sit for a couple seconds and be like, oh my gosh, it's really good.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them were good. And then there was a couple that were like so.
Yeah.
But they have a really cool dessert there. That I find is more for the experience. Like the flavor was okay, but it's kind of an acquired taste for a dessert.
Okay.
But they give you a giant chocolate ball.
Okay.
Right. That you crack open and there's like a strawberry mousse that's inside and pomegranates and like other stuff that
makes for great Instagram.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Like it's an experience. The flavor is okay. Like, I mean, the thing is don't underestimate how large it was.
Yeah.
There was three of us that were eating at the time.
Yeah.
We could not finish this egg.
Wow.
Right. So, anyways, it's a pretty cool place, Mira. If you got time, if you want to go on a Peruvian adventure, that is, one of the more recent, adventures or experiences I've had recently, but
I went to an oldie but a goodie. Went to Yamato in Yorkville.
That's my wife's favorite Japanese place.
Yeah, it was really good. Haven't had teppanyaki in a long time, and we were a little drunk by the time we got there, and when we got there we had a bottle of wine as well.
So who knows if the food was actually good.
But the food was really good. We had the mixed, it was like a beef chicken plus seafood combination. Really good. Great experience. Yamato is always great.
I highly recommend Yamato as well. We've been there like 5-6 times easy. And we will go back anytime.
I think for area like Yorkville, they could make the price
ridiculous.
Ridiculous,
but it's actually reasonable.
Yeah. And it's Yorkville. It's a nice night out.
I won't say it's cheap, but
it's not.
It's like middle. Yeah. Like you'd expect it. Most things in Yorkville are high.
Yeah.
Or medium to like medium high to high.
Yeah.
Whereas it's, you know, I've been to less quality Japanese places at the same price.
There are other teppanyaki places that are more expensive than.
Yes.
And they're out. I wouldn't say right in the city.
Yes. Like, yeah. You know, some of them are in the suburbs. Yeah. And they're the
super
price
expensive.
Higher.
And maybe some will say it's all you can eat, but
I don't need all you can eat. Just give me good food.
So it was a really good experience.
Yeah.
I liked it.
I agree. No, that's awesome. Is this your first time there?
Yeah. No, not my first time there, but it's just I haven't been there in
just
years.
You did a throwback. Just make sure.
Yeah.
Do some quality control.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, not just that. I just wanted to go to a place where the theater was nearby. We could walk. It was really hot, so we could walk around and see pretentious people. people
work out at the Three Good Lifes that are all within one block radius.
Yeah, there we go.
Normal date.
Normal date name. Yeah. Now you know what my wife and I are into.
So we need that mid-date workout.
Yeah.
And not that, like, the fun kind. I mean, like, the good life kind. The good life fitness gym kind. But anyways, that's awesome. So two quick adventures. I'm just While we have some other of our journeys in the works. But otherwise, yeah, if you got any other suggestions, stuff you want to comment about, you can reach out to us on social media under What We Dig. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are on Instagram. So feel free to send us some love or some thoughts. And if you have any experiences or cool experiences, share with us. We'd love to hear it. Otherwise, my name's Laird.
I'm Rafi.
And we will see you next time.
Later.